Thank you, Kane. 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by Grove Collaborative. Grove makes healthier home products accessible and affordable, and over 500,000 families shop at grove.co. Remember the .co part of this. For non-toxic dish soap, plant-based skincare, Grove makes it easy to find the best natural, eco-friendly products online and then delivers them straight to your door so you can make better choices for your family with just one click. Now, I'll say this. As you're trying to get into finding a things to work around the house to clean with that have less harsh chemicals in them, whether it's be for you or the children or the pets or whatever reason, or it's better for the environment, you got to have something that works. And we went through this in our house. My wife was mixing up her own concoctions that were organically based cleaners, and the idea was nice, but they weren't getting it done. Well, she was saying again last night to me how much she likes the products we're using from Grove. I tell you, we got a order about 2 weeks ago. We got their mop wood floor cleaner, their eucalyptus mint shower spray, also the spearmint antibacterial bathroom cleaner, the stuff you can spray on in the shower and the bath afterwards and does that cleaning. And my favorite is the Mrs. Meyer's spring multi-surface spray. Yes, we use it on all kinds of surfaces, but one, if you have the if you have the granite in your kitchen, it's hard to get a cleaner that cleans the granite without leaving a haze on it. This stuff does a fantastic job. The Mrs. Meyer Spring Multi-Surface Spray. And right now, an exclusive offer from the folks over at Grove. You can get a combination of the things I just talked about. New customers will get a free cleaning set in limited edition scents when you place your first order of $20, like the Mrs. Meyer Spring Hand Soap, the Dish Soap, the Spring Multi-Surface Spray we love so much, also the Cleaning Caddy, and the Walnut Scrubber Sponges. These things are fantastic and do a good job in the kitchen and in the bathroom. And right now you can try Grove before this exclusive spring offer runs out. For a limited time, y'all can get a three-piece cleaning set from Mrs. Meyer's Spring Scents, a free 60-day VIP membership, and a surprise bonus gift when you sign up and place an order of $20 or more. It's an incredible deal. You get a ton of free stuff. Check out Grove and the special offer for y'all, grove.co/mobile. So it's grove.co, not .com, .co/mobile. Check them out today. All right, 8:09 and moving on this hour. Lots to do. And our buddy, Sally Erickson from Bell & Grath Gardens at Home, joining us in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. And it is, it's always, there's always something blooming, always something happening at Bell & Grath. I mean, obviously, we're talking in the fall about the lights going up for Christmas. But this is when people start thinking about gardens. It's spring. They've got garden fever here, and y'all are ready to host a lot of events out at Bell & Grath.
That's right, starting tomorrow with the Car Classic. That's presented by the Mobile Bay Mustang Club, and so you'll see hundreds of classic and vintage cars on the Great Lawn. We are hoping the weather clears up for us. Mm-hmm. It should be a really fun day.
Yeah, what time does that start tomorrow?
About 9:00.
It looks like you're good. We talked to staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. He said tomorrow during the day is the best window over the next 4 days or so. So tomorrow should be okay during the day. Now, tomorrow night, maybe not so much, and Sunday night, not so much, but tomorrow looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be a beautiful day. We're going to have a lot of beautiful flowers. We'll have the azaleas made. We'll have Fusekli's food truck. It's just going to be a great family outing.
And you'll let those cars park on the lawn?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is the one time of the year.
that's so cool. What a beautiful backdrop. Almost like Great Gatsby-esque to have these classic cars out there and beautiful gardens behind it. Probably some great photo op.
It is, and especially if, people out there, one of you really likes cars, one of you really likes flowers, it's the perfect chance to come down to Bell & Grath.
I like that mashup. Also, with Easter coming up, y'all got your Easter egg hunt happening as well. When's that?
That is next Saturday, April 13th, also starting at 9 o'clock. And we've always had a continuous egg hunt for toddlers that's a little separate area, but this year we've also added a continuous egg hunt for children with disabilities.
Oh, great.
So this is the first time we've tried something like this, and we think it's going to be wonderful. The eggs are suspended from balloons, so children, differently abled children, can easily collect the eggs. And what's great about this whole day, we also have two timed hunts for older children, is it's non-competitive. There's nothing worse than a competitive Easter egg hunt.
Why are you looking at me? My children might be a little bit competitive. I mean,
but the idea is that it doesn't really matter how many eggs you collect. You can fill up your basket, or you can just get two or three. Then you come to the treat station, and then you get all kinds of treats and candy, and it's just a lot of fun.
Okay, got my attention there. And also, you'll have a sunrise service happening the next weekend.
Right, Sunday, April 21st at 6:30, no charge for admission. It's a community-wide service, and the Reverend Van Bush of New Hope Methodist Church will deliver our Easter message. It's always a really beautiful scene on Live Oak Plaza because you see the sun come up over the Fowl River, and we collect an offering for Family Promise of Coastal Alabama.
Or any of the events we've talked about from tomorrow's car show through, are these ticketed events, or just what do we do here?
Right, yeah, you just get your ticket when you arrive.
You don't have to get them ahead of time. You can show up at the ticket booth.
You can order your tickets for the Easter egg hunt online if you'd like to at bellengreth.org. We also still have a few spots available for breakfast with the Easter Bunny that morning. You have to have reservations for that, and that starts at 8 o'clock.
Okay, so go online and get those tickets, and get your plan for Easter. And then the Wiggle Waggle Rescue Run.
Right. Say that three times fast.
I'm not doing that. So you do that. So it's coming up in April as well.
Right. April 27th. And that is a fundraiser for the Animal Rescue Foundation. And this is the one day of the year when you can bring your dog into the garden. So that's kind of how they're billing it.
Sally, we've known each other a long time. You've now let the cars park on the lawn at Bellengreth and you're letting the dogs do a little number.
Total anarchy.
Dogs on the lawn and cars on the lawn. Y'all have lost control. Institutional control is gone at Bellengreth.
Right. We do have stations where you can get a little bag in case your dog gets indisposed. So it's not as bad as it sounds.
But that's okay. So that benefits ARF.
And
that's
right, okay. Right. And so it's a fun day. We always get to see a lot of different dogs. And you can participate in the 5K, which is just for humans. And then the 1 mile fun run is for pets and their owners. And that's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, that's anarchy.
Right.
Running with the pets. Right. And then, you know, I'd come to this. And you have dubbed it here and through Bellengreth as International Gardening Day, Saturday, May 4th. International Gardening Day. Some of us that are less lowbrow, you know, troglodytes like me, will point out that it's also Naked Gardening Day.
While I want to emphasize Bellengreth does not celebrate International Naked Gardening Day.
Okay.
Our horticultural staff just wants to, first of all, reiterate that we always want to encourage gardening in any form because it's great to get outside and enjoy nature.
Yes.
Just on this special day, we advise against using power tools or pruning roses.
Yeah, cleaning out the briars.
Basically anything sharp.
This is something that can really only be celebrated if you have the very high privacy fence there at the house. But we started talking about this years ago. You said, hey, by the way, did you see this? There's international. This is something, if y'all Google this, it's not Sally and I just making it up.
No,
this
we're
is
not
thing.
Making it up.
There's International Naked Gardening Day. I don't know how it's... Is it trying to bring new people into the gardening world?
Well, or? I'm sure it helps you become one with nature. You
exactly.
Know, you're just a little bit closer to...
Sunburned.
Yes, you definitely get sunburned.
So this is... But there's not a official celebration going on at Bellengreth. This is something you would encourage people just to take up on their own.
Right. Definitely okay. Not at Bellengreth.
Also on your list in May, you've got the Garden Stroll celebrating National Public Garden.
Yes, this is something else we're trying out because we've discovered that people really enjoy coming by the gardens after hours and, you know, enjoying the extended daylight.
This is a clothed event.
It is definitely clothed, and it should be a very lovely event because we're going to have complimentary wine and cheese in the gift shop, and then we'll also have some gardening demonstrations, and then we're just telling people just to stroll the gardens and have a nice evening from 5:30 to 7 on May 9th, and that's the day before National Public Gardens Day. So it's kind of our pre-celebration. And so we're excited to try this. This will be fun.
It's neat to talk about this because we're so lucky having Bellengreth here. We do take it for granted that it's known nationally. People come from all over to go to Bellengreth, and it's here in our own backyard, and we kind of get like, oh yeah, we have Bellengreth. It is a fantastic garden right here. I mean, this is something people travel to come see.
Absolutely, and it's really special when you think about how the Bellengreth started it in 1932, and it's the state's oldest public garden. It really is a wonderful legacy they left for us.
And here's one of the problems. When we go, because I'm guilty, I'm pointing at myself, it's when kinfolk come in from elsewhere that we take them to Bellengreth. You know, that's like seems to be, or I'll take mom for an event or something like that. And we just take it for granted that it's there, but y'all are doing stuff and changing stuff throughout the year. And just because somebody came out to Magic Christmas and Lights doesn't mean they've seen what's going on right now.
Absolutely. It's always beautiful every day of the year. And I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm hoping that your listeners will vote for us in the nappies. The nomination period is through Sunday, and we're really hoping to get nominated in
the category?
Best Place to Take Out-of-Towners, Most Kid-Friendly Local Attraction. Also, I'm plugging for Best Gift Shop.
Oh, yes.
And Best Museum, because Tom McGee does such a wonderful job with the Bellingrath Museum Home.
And that is something, if people have not seen, what a fantastic, I mean, for the architecture and the things inside the Bellingrath Home are amazing.
Well, and that's what the Bellingraths actually had. It's almost like they just walked out and you walk in.
It's circa what year, like what year did we freeze it in time?
1955, pretty much.
So, I mean, you travel in time, people are all into like the Mad Men and the whole, you know, architecture or the whole scene from back then. This is like a time capsule.
It is. And, of course, a lot of the stuff was collected in the 1930s with Miss Bessie, but she died in 1943, so I just like to think of it as 1955 because that's when Mr. Bellingrath died.
All right, and speaking of, I was talking about taking Mom out, Mother's Day concert.
Yes, I tell everybody, you don't need to buy flowers for Mom, just bring her to Bellingrath. And it's a really nice evening garden concert at 5:30 with the Mobile Youth Symphony Orchestra.
All right, and that will be something we probably should go online and get our tickets soon.
Yes, in fact, we opened the portal yesterday to make reservations for a table, if you'd like to do that, at bellingrath.org.
All right, remind folks, too, that if they want to, if they've not been, it's like we say 20 minutes from downtown. I mean, tell them where to go.
Well, it's about exactly 30 minutes from downtown, just to make sure that we factor in all the traffic and everything.
Oh, you hadn't ridden with me before. It's 20.
Oh, well, you know, time to beat on your GPS. And it's really not a bad drive, and I think we have pretty good signage. I always take exit 15A, and then you go down 90 a little ways, and then you'll see the big billboard that says, turn here. So then after that, you've got about 15 more minutes, and then it's free parking, of course, open every day, 8 to 5.
All right, somebody wants to find out more information, not only the website, but y'all are all over social media as well.
We do our best. We do have a great, nice Facebook page and a Twitter account and an Instagram account.
All right, just search for Bellingrath Gardens and Homes. Sally, as always, we appreciate your time.
Thank you.
All right, Sally Erickson with Bellingrath. And yeah, if you're putting that in your list of things, you know, like your reminders on your calendar and your smartphone, May the 4th is International Naked Gardening Day. You're coming right back.
Tiptoe through the window, by the window, that is where I'll be. Come tiptoe through the tulips with me.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Rain off and on through the next few days. More details coming up with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. He's got our forecast at 8:35. But tomorrow looks pretty good, so good news for the folks out at Bellingrath. Also, another cool event happening tonight. Serta Brewing Company teaming up with the Manis Boys at Cottage Hill Package. Russ and the awesome crew from Mobile's own Serta Brewing is going to be in the back bar introducing some new beers. The Jubilator Helles Doppelbock, the Clear Prop Porter, the Homeport Hefeweizen, and a whole lot more. And another free event. You come out and get that little sample, that tasting of those craft beers. And, you know, that's the thing, I'm a craft beer fan, but you walk down the aisles of a place like Cottage Hill Package, and there's all these new beers, and you're like, I don't know if I want to buy a six-pack of something that I don't know what it tastes like. Well, they solved the problem. Come out and do a test tasting tonight. And it's also Serta Brewing, so hometown brewers tonight starting at 6. Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, or make sure to like them over on Facebook. All right, I mentioned last night, went down to the battleship and was down at the very cool pavilion, the hangar down there, for a Alabama Policy Institute, an API event, and listen to, and I don't know what to call them. We'll have this discussion because Rachel Breyers from API is in. I had this discussion sitting there at the table last night. Do I refer, because usually somebody who, even if they're not in office anymore, you'll refer to them as the last title they had. They'll be senator, even though they're not a senator now, or attorney general. And it was Jeff Sessions last night. I couldn't figure out exactly how did you address him?
That is a great question. A lot of us were actually debating that. What do we call him? But we all decided, you know what? The Southern tradition is to call them by their last title. So I guess he's Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Okay. It just felt weird. It's like it was so long as a senator and a short time as attorney general. I was torn on that, but good
Absolutely.
To hear your decision. Thanks for being in here.
Oh, it's so much fun. Love to be down in Mobile, even though this rain has reminded me, man, y'all get a lot of rain down here.
Yes. Yes, we do. It's rainy and hot for most of the year, but usually this time of year it's better than this. But y'all are in, put on this event with Alabama Policy Institute. First of all, tell folks what API is.
Okay, so API has been around for 30 years now. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary.
Wow.
And we're really a conservative think tank. We're nonpartisan. We don't align with the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. We try to be very open to what is the truth. That's something that we say amongst ourselves often. We want to be a resource for legislators that they can say, okay, we have all these different voices, special interests talking in our ears, but what are the facts here? We pride ourselves on being able to provide those facts to them. And then we also get out and have kind of a grassroots mentality. We get out in the community. We talk to folks about mm-hmm. the issues just so they're aware of what's going on.
Now, this is what's good. You talk about nonpartisan. I mean, it's conservative, but over the years, I'll tell you all from my perspective, this is good because I don't see, there's a lot of think tanks, or let's say idea makers in the state that are a accessory to some special interest, okay? And I point those things out. I've not seen that with y'all, and it's neat because sometimes I'm in complete agreement with what you're saying. Sometimes I'm not. I've had great discussions and debates with people from API. Y'all are open to talking about the ideas. You're not closed off. You're like, yeah, sure, you disagree. Let's talk about these things. And it is great because y'all are not predictable when it comes to party politics. You're predictable when it comes to conservatism, but not party politics.
Absolutely. I mean, the gas tax is a great example
there
of
you
that.
Go. Yeah,
right.
A Republican bill, gas tax, and y'all opposed it.
We did. We felt like this was not a good idea unless it was offset by another decrease, maybe the grocery tax.
Mm-hmm.
So we were disappointed that, you know, it kind of was pushed through, but there was a little bit of good in there, and we've pointed that out. But that's what we want to do, is to be able to just say, here's what's good about this idea, here's what's bad, but let's look at it with some clear eyes and try to come at it with our perspective, which is conservative, but also be open to facts.
Yes. Well, and that's what's good, because right now, I've pointed out several times in this session, we have things. If we took the time machine, if we took the Back to the Future DeLorean time machine and went back 10 or 15 years and said, hey, y'all, Republicans will be carrying a lottery bill. They'll be carrying a gas tax increase, possible Medicaid increase. These things are going to come out of the Republican Party. People say, ah, come on, Sullivan, you're out of control here on this. But here we are today. These are Republican bills in Montgomery that may, through the eyes of many, not be seen as conservative.
I agree. And so I think that's why it's more important now, even though we have an overwhelming majority in mm-hmm. the legislature. It's important for us to kind of have that, an outside organization, a think tank, to say, are we holding true to conservatism, or are we just slipping into, let's increase government, let's mm-hmm. raise taxes, we need more money. You know, we need to be aware.
Yeah, and what about, I mean, think about the lottery. Lottery 10, 15 years ago, well, failed at the polls, and we can talk about the reasons why, but today, here's the same Republican Party that then was opposing it. In Senator McClendon's bill and others are bringing the lotto bill in.
That's right, and I think, you know, we've tried to look at it and say, let's take the moral argument out of it. Let's maybe okay. not even address it from that perspective and say, you know, gambling or lottery right. is right or wrong. But let's just look at it a fiscal perspective. Let's look at it from who this is going to affect in a perhaps disproportionate way. And I think to see who will be advertised to, low-income Alabamians, that we're going to have to put this out there in advertising and hope that they will buy these in large numbers, because that's typically who
buys
statistically
lottery
buys yeah. lottery tickets. I just don't think that we can ignore that just because there would be a large amount of influx into the budget. And would that long term even be sustainable? I'm not sure.
All right. We'll talk more about this, and we'll talk about school choice and what that means for the state of Alabama when we return. Rachel Breyers, our guest from the Alabama Policy Institute. We'll check in with Dr. Bill's forecast and news next.
Thank you, Kevin. Kane, 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. I'm thinking we might need to get in the boat business instead of cars with all this rain we've been having.
Yeah, all kinds of rain down here in our neck of the woods, and it's not looking very good over the weekend. There will be a little bit of window tomorrow, but you're right, getting to the boat business would be smart. But you guys at McConnell might as well have Oprah Winfrey on the lot this weekend. You get a deal, and you get a deal. You got deals all around for everybody.
That's a great way of saying it. In fact, I had a buddy pull up to the dealership yesterday, which is on Dolphin Street. And he said, Mitch, what is going on here? Everything's got a pink tag on it, so it's not a red tag sale, it's a pink tag sale. And Dalton, all it really means is we've gotten this great news that we can give supplier price plus additional rebates, and in some cases 0%, and it's all on these pink tags. So we got like 350 vehicles from a Denali all the way down to the Buick Encore that's $169 a month vehicle when you lease it. And everything is pre-negotiated, and some of the discounts get over $12,000 off things like a Z71 2018 pickup truck. So it's a great time to come and not have to negotiate, just save huge.
And if people want to check out the inventory from the safety of their own homes, they can go to McConnellAutomotive.com.
Yeah, I don't blame anybody for not wanting to come to a car dealership. I have to go there every day, but customers don't. And our website makes it super simple. Even finance approval, all you have to do, Dalton, is go to McConnellAutomotive.com, and I promise it'll be the easiest, most pleasant shopping and buying experience anybody's ever had with a car. That we guarantee.
All right. Thank you very much, Mitch. Have a good day.
Y'all stay dry. Y'all stay dry, Dalton.
We'll try. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right. Continuing our conversation with Rachel Breyers from the Alabama Policy Institute, and first time in studio, so I'm glad you're here, and you're here for an event celebrating 30 years for API last night out at the battleship.
That's right. It was so cool to hear Jeff Sessions speak, don't
yes,
you think?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And I got to talk to a lot of people about politics today, but I got to learn about the history of API over 30 years, so a bunch of stuff I did not know. So I enjoyed the education last night. That was a great event. Talk about what's going on right now and issues that are of interest to API. And one here, and I want to kind of, first of all, we'll go this effort to repeal Common Core that's going on. I've talked about it. I know that Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh is now, it seems, a turnabout. He's hot and heavy on this. You said API supports it with some caveats.
Absolutely. So there, and just to be clear, the bill has already passed the Senate to officially repeal Common Core. It's now in committee in the House, which just means that before this is passed, you know, the House is going to have to look at it and agree. So basically, Common Core, for anybody who's not quite sure what that means, it's a set of standards that was developed about in 2010, basically with the purpose of having all the states have the same idea of what children should know in each grade by the end of the year as they progressed. And then eventually, by the time they graduated from high school, it was to just say, okay, in all states, this is
they're
what
learning
you should
these
know.
Things.
You should be learning these things. And hey, that sounds like a great idea in theory.
Right.
But I think as one of the things that was lost as we all jumped on board was those laboratories of democracy in each state where we could say, hey, look at this state who's doing great in math. What are they doing differently?
Yeah. Let me go poach their ideas. I like that. I like to see who's doing.
Yeah. Exactly. And so so at this point, you know, there have been some maybe symbolic changes to Common Core along the way. In 2013, Alabama, the school board sent a resolution saying we're going to rebrand this. We're already going to say we're not beholden to Common Core. Let's rename it and call it College and Career Readiness. We're in charge of our own education, Alabama. That's what the school board already did. But I think that was probably a little bit more symbolic than it was actually.
Yeah, but if you rebranded, did you change what was in there? Did they change?
They tweaked a few things, but it's pretty much Common Core still.
Okay.
So I think Alabamians, they say, what is this Common Core? Let's get rid of it.
Well, you'll hear people say, I can't even help my kids with their math homework. That seems to be the takeaway, but there's a lot more to this.
I think so. And that's where I would say the caveats are coming in is let's not just throw out the standards just because they're Common Core. I mean, for example, if you're a first grader and you should be able to know by the end of the year, or let's say a kindergartner, you should be able to count to 100.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a standard that's probably still going to be there, whether it's called Common Core or whether it's
Right. Don't. So y'all are saying don't oppose things that are common sense within Common Core just because it's Common Core.
Or that are effective.
Right.
That very smart people have looked at and said, this is the way we need to move. Yes, this math might be harder, but this is what they're doing in other countries. And their math, you know, Singapore, their math concepts are really effective. Do we want to stick with an old way of doing things, or do we want to be competitive in the global marketplace? I think we have to look at that and say, okay, yeah, this math is hard, but do we just want to throw it out just because it's Common Core?
So API, say you're looking through these standards, what kind of like buffet style, say, yeah, we like this, we don't like this. I mean, for the state to select the things that work and leave the other things behind?
I think that's the way forward. We support the idea that we should just go ahead and pull out a Common Core. Other states are.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana was one of the early ones to go ahead and pull out. And what happened there when Mike Pence was governor, ended up being Common Core with a few tweaks. And I think that's the way forward for Alabama. What I hope doesn't happen is what you just said, Sean, that they just say, hey, school board, you have to rewrite standards and you can't use any of the standards that were in Common Core. That would probably not work.
Yeah, and it's good that y'all are bringing that up and putting that as part of the discussion, because it would be politically expedient to do just that. If I'm running for office, I know how many negatives are associated with Common Core, and rightfully so on a lot of them. It's easy for me to come out and campaign and say, I'm throwing the whole thing out. Alabama doesn't need any of this stuff. This stuff's all junk, instead of looking at it step by step. So good for API looking at it. Things that work, keep them. Things that don't, get rid of them.
I think so. And, you know, that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate your confidence in that, and we'll watch that. Also, the Alabama Accountability Act, okay, this move to repeal that. First of all, let's go back. Alabama Accountability Act is what, Rachel? What is that?
It was a law that was created basically to, as the name says, to hold Alabama education accountable. So this law created a way for us to grade our schools.
Okay. So now, we report that the schools get such and such grade.
Yeah, so we have that failing schools list.
Yes.
That legislation created that. But it also created a popular but maybe not well-known opportunity for low-income students who are in failing schools or generally in schools close to that failing school definition to be able to transfer to another public school or a private school of their choosing, if they'll accept it, to apply school choice on scholarship. It's a tax credit scholarship program. So it's not very big, Sean, but I will say that there has been sort of a grassroots movement to repeal this. So there's resolutions being filed by local school boards, Baldwin County, Mobile, Montgomery, Birmingham, some of these bigger, and also some rural school systems are saying, you know, we don't want this. This is taking money away from public schools. It needs to end. But what we would say is that it is such a minuscule amount of money that we are talking about. It's such a small amount of students. I mean, let's put it into perspective.
Okay.
In Mobile, I think there's maybe 545 students who are benefiting from the program, and, you know, something like, what, 20,000 students?
Yeah, so the Mobile, even with the changes that have happened over the last few years, Mobile County Schools, I think the biggest, yeah, it's still the biggest school system in the state.
Right, absolutely.
Big.
So it's you know, 545 kids on this scholarship is not a lot of kids, and the amount of money that's being spent on it is one half of 1% of the education trust fund. We're talking about a huge $6 billion education trust fund. And
so these school systems like Mobile or Baldwin County, they're crying out and saying that this is going to topple their whole system. Or what? I mean, what's their argument here?
Okay, so their argument is that this is money that would, these tax money would have gone into the education trust fund, which in theory would have been dispersed between K through 12 systems, and that's money that they're technically missing out on. But here's where.
But that student's not in that school, are they at that point?
Right. So they're not having to educate the student. And here's the other thing that I think kind of gets folks a little bit scratching their heads. Most of these budgets are actually going up. So Baldwin County's budget went up by 22.5% in the past several years. Mobile County's budget is going up, even while their student enrollment is going down. So
is Baldwin County going down as well?
No, Baldwin County is not going down.
I know they're building. So even though the whole system, you had more students, you had more revenue coming in to educate those students, but for like Mobile County with the 545, I'm just trying to understand this. If a student then uses this voucher system, uses the school choice, and leaves that school system and goes somewhere else, the cost of educating that child has now moved to the new school.
Absolutely.
So it should be a net zero situation for that school system.
And, you know, to their credit, they would say, well, we've already built up the systems and all that to educate that child. We still have these costs, even if they're gone. But I don't think that really goes over well with the taxpayers.
Right.
Who are saying most of these, oh, actually, all of the kids are low income. They are in poverty. Most of the schools on the failing list,
yes.
They're almost all the kids in those schools are in poverty. This is an opportunity for them to transfer out and maybe have a life-changing opportunity to change the trajectory of their family's life. And you know, it takes a little bit of get up and go to go figure out how to get the scholarship, mm-hmm. to drive their children to school. These are folks who want to make a difference.
They've showed themselves to want to change that.
Yeah, there's not a bus coming to pick them up anymore. You know, there's effort there. And so you have to think this is a good idea for, it's like a relief valve for those people who are stuck in bad situations.
And it gives people choices. I'll come back more on this. Our guest in studio from the Alabama Policy Institute, Rachel Briers, talking about school choice and talking about the Alabama Accountability Act right here on Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Reminder 2 coverage tomorrow, Auburn Hoops Final Four. Something that's never been said before.
Yeah, no team in Alabama's ever made it to the Final Four, and they're tipping off at Sean's favorite time, 5:09 p.m. So the pregame will start at 4:30. You can hear it all right here, FM Talk 106.5.
Y'all do understand why he teases me on that, because I'm driven crazy by this. I've been almost 30 years now in broadcasting, and things in broadcasting start at what we call the top or bottom of the hour. So at 0:00 of the hour, or 30 minutes past, or 15 minutes past, or 45 minutes after, or something like that. It's mm-hmm. always in 50. Our whole world has been in 15 minutes, and now TV just, game starts at 6:03, 5:09. Come on, just make it 5 or 5:15. It's so I don't have my headache from this.
I'm just hoping they give Charles Barkley like a 7-minute monologue going into the game, and then let him sing the national anthem too.
I vote for that. That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
It'd be really cool.
Rachel Briers from the Alabama Policy Institute, our guest in studio, and talking about a couple things as it deals with education here in the state. Number one, we talked a little bit about Common Core. But we're into the Alabama Accountability Act and the push to repeal that out there, and y'all are opposing that.
That's right. We feel like this is a good release valve for some of those folks who are stuck in a system, maybe a poor performing school, or maybe they're being bullied. I mean, some of the kids...
You've got a story about that too. Yeah, you let me know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Baldwin County doesn't have any failing schools, but right. there are some who choose to transfer out because maybe they're in a situation where they're being bullied at their school and they can't afford to, you know, move and buy a new house or
right.
pay for private school. So in situations like that, you know, do we wait and have to have that child just sit there and go through what they're going through? Or do we say, hey, here's a small option for people who may need it? And we support that. We think that's a great idea.
Okay. With these programs, we're talking about it down here, these school systems are saying, hey, you can't do this. This is taking away from the school system at large. I could ask you the question earlier that if you don't have that student in the system, that cost is not there, although you said the school systems argue they built out to educate that many people. What does this mean for dollars from taxpayers? I mean, hey, when they use these voucher systems and go somewhere, is the net cost to the taxpayer any different than if they stayed in the school that they were in the district of?
Well, what's interesting is that, you know, I think on average it costs maybe $9,000 to $10,000 to educate a kid in the public school system. Okay. Just, and that varies across systems, but it's roughly about, you know, $10,000. But when, you know, taking even into consideration administration costs, it costs the taxpayers less to educate the children who are on the scholarship program. And so, you know, Warren Calloway, who's one of the scholarship granting organization directors, he put it a good way. He said, basically, that we have given the taxpayers $200 million worth of education for $130 million. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you think about it in
pretty
those
good
terms,
discount.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a good deal for the taxpayer.
And people hear this, if they right now there's this push to repeal it, they would call their legislator if they want to have this liberty, to have this option, and call and say, hey, we want to keep the Alabama Accountability Act. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. There's really there's nothing going on right now in the legislature to repeal this. Like I said, these are sort of symbolic acts by the local school boards. But I think the teachers union is sort of going around and building a grassroots movement that's not going to go away this year. It's probably going to keep on coming up every year in an effort to, you know, maybe when Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh isn't in there anymore. Maybe mm-hmm. someone else is in there who's going to have not as much of a push behind the Alabama Accountability Act. Maybe they'll say, all right, we have built consensus and we're now ready to take this thing down. And again, I think it's about those dollars, about making sure that they have all the money that they can possibly get.
When somebody's listening to this and they either have a child in one of these schools now or down the road they want to educate, what is the process for somebody to take advantage of this? They have a student in one of these failing schools. What do you do?
Well, so basically, if your school ends up on the failing school list, which is different than the state report card situation, it's a little bit confusing, but there are a few schools that maybe even got a C on the report card who are on the failing school list. Hmm. Your school has to notify you that your school was on the failing list. So you should have been notified.
Okay, you'll get a mailer or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And at that point, if you want to transfer out, you can apply to a different school and you get in touch with some of these scholarships.
We're at that point. We got the mailer. It says it's a failing school.
Hmm.
What do we do?
You can look around and say, well, do I want to go to a different public school in my district?
Okay.
You can transfer. If you don't want to go to one in your district, you can get in touch with that other school in another public school in a
district.
Just call
them up and say, hey, my child's in a failing school, we would like to attend this school.
Right. Now, they have to decide to let you.
Okay.
And that actually doesn't often happen. Or you can get in touch with a scholarship granting organization. And the biggest ones are Scholarships for Kids and the Alabama Opportunity Fund. And those will help place you in you can apply to a private school, apply for a scholarship, and then get into those schools. So like I said, there's some effort here. You have to really want to take advantage of this. And I think the kinds of parents who do are saying, you know, this is so important to us. We can't wait for Alabama to get better at education. We can't wait for our school to turn around. Our kid is moving through the system now, mm-hmm. and this is going to affect the rest of their lives.
Big time.
So, you know, help me right now while you improve your public education.
No, well said, because I think the idea of fixing all schools at every point in all 67 counties in the state of Alabama and having, I'm a big proponent of that for moral reasons and pragmatic reasons. But at the same time, if that's not happening, if you say, well, maybe we'll get that done in 10 or 20 years, it's not going to help my child now.
Exactly.
That's our job, right? Our number one job is to our children, doing it now. And this gives us the liberty to make that change.
And I think that's important to say, that this is not supposed to replace public education. You know, this shouldn't be a push to suddenly privatize all education in Alabama and everybody just start pouring out.
Because that's what the opponents have said that.
Right, right. And, you know, there's a cap on it already. So I think this serves about 3,500 students statewide. There's 20,000 on the waiting list.
Wow.
But, you know, the state has capped it at the tax credit available dollars to that $30 million. So there is that cap there. And there's probably no movement on that number at this point. It's going to stay small. But like I said, for people who need that way out right now, what a great thing.
Yes.
I mean, it holds Alabama accountable. I think that report card and that failing list, I mean, if your school's on it, that's a motivation to do something, reform, start, you know, checking out what's going on and see what you can do to bring those scores up.
That's why you do grades, that's for sure. Rachel, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And if people want to read more about this website, where do they go?
They can go to alabamapolicy.org. We're also on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and you can follow me personally on Instagram at Rachel Blackman Briers.
Good stuff. Thank you. Come back soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, pleasure. All right, we're out of here. Mike Gallagher on next. I'll be back at noon for Midday Mobile. A reminder, y'all, it's Friday. Yep, yeah, it's Friday.